Okay, so we talked about in the Hagdama to this Mishnah that we're going to list off items that are like the diamond ring. Like our example was that if you have a whole bowl filled with 25-cent machine rings, there are 125-cent machine rings in them, and there's one diamond ring that's actually authentic. It's a real, genuine diamond ring. We're not going to say that just because there's a majority against the diamond ring that we'd be comfortable ignoring it and saying, oh, well, it's clearly overwhelmed by the majority. Just because there's a quantitative majority does not mean that there's automatically going to be a rove that kicks in and cancels the minority. Okay, so now we're going to list off those things that in halacha, they are significant, they are inherently significant, they are what we call a davar sheva minyan. They are counted, let's say, they're sold individually on the market, and so therefore, they're not going to become batal so easily. And so the Mishnah says, Elu asurin v'osrin b'kolshein. These are items that are asur, they are prohibited in benefit, and they are osrin, they prohibit other things b'kol shein with any amount of them. In other words, any amount of these things, if they would make their way into a mixture of 1,000 other things, all those other things would be problematic. Okay, so just like, just to plug it back into our example with the diamond ring, just like if I have a whole bowl filled with the 25-cent machine rings and one of them is a genuine diamond ring, so if I pick up each ring one at a time, I'm going to be nervous that ring that I'm holding right now is the genuine diamond ring, and I'm not going to want to throw it out, even though there are 100 fake ones in this bowl. So the Mishnah says, similarly, that these items prohibit the kol shein, they prohibit with any amount of these items would prohibit everything else, such that if you picked up anything else in this mixture, you'd have to be nervous that this is the item that's aser. So what does the Mishnah say? What's on this list? Yein nesach. So this is, as we know, wine that was used for libations. But what's important to note here is that we're not talking about droplets of wine in this Mishnah. We're talking about, again, davar sheva minyan, things that are sold by number. So we're not talking about the droplet of wine. We are talking about a bottle or a cask or a barrel of wine. So those things, if you have one, let's say you have a bottle of wine, of yain nesach, and now there's a whole mixture, there's 1,000 other bottles of wine in the wine cellar. One of them is yain nesach, all the other ones are kosher. But I don't know which one is the yain nesach wine and which one of them are all the kosher wines. All the wines in that cellar are now problematic. I'm not going to be able to have any hana'ah from any of those bottles of wine. Next one is v'avodah zarah. Same thing, but if it comes to an avodah zarah. Now, what do we mean when we talk about an avodah zarah? Again, we're talking about an individual item that has independent inherent significance. So, for example, if there's a statue of an avodah zarah, a little figurine that's avodah zarah, and it gets mixed together with a whole bunch of other figurines, but the other figurines were not worshipped as avodah zarah. So, what do? You know that one of the figurines in this mixture is avodah zarah, but all the other ones are not. Everything that's there is going to be usher. You're not allowed to use, you're not allowed to have any hana from any of those things. The next thing is va'oros levuvan. These are the skins that are levuvan. This we talked about a little while ago, a couple prakim ago, where we said that these are the skins that are levuvan from a lashon of lev. A lev is a heart, so this is levuvan, that they are hearted. Meaning, and I'll explain like we talked about before, if you have a cherry and you take out the pit, so we say that the cherry is pitted. So here, these are hides, these are skins that are hearted. In other words, the heart was removed. What is this talking about? So what we explained is that when they would, one of the things that they did was a particularly cruel kind of sacrifice to their avodah zarah. What they would do is they would take a live animal and cut out the heart while the animal was there standing and alive. And they would offer the heart along with the rest of the animal to the avodah zarah. So the skins of that animal, if you could tell very easily that animal, if an animal was used for such a thing, right? Because there was a hole right opposite the heart of the animal. So if you're looking at a skin, you go to the leather, you go to the tanner to pick up some hide to make parchment, and you see that there is a skin hanging from the wall that has a hole right opposite the heart, that's a problem. That's oros levuvan, and that means that skin was part of avodah zarah worship. And so a skin, right, an animal's hide, is of individual significance, and therefore, if it gets mixed together with 1,000 other skins, and all the other skins were kosher skins, they weren't used for avodah zarah worship, still, if you don't know which of the skins is oros levuvan, then all of them are problematic. Next, vishor haniskal, a shor that was stoned. What's this talking about? So this is, if you have an axe that gores and kills a person, and Rachman al-Islan, Reuven is gored and killed by an axe, so Reuven's family comes and they bring witnesses to court. They bring witnesses to Beis Din that say that Shimon's axe killed Reuven, Gordon killed Reuven, and we have witnesses there. Two witnesses, they testify, the court accepts those witnesses, and they reach a verdict and they say this axe has killed Reuven, and now the halacha is that when an axe gores and kills a Reuven, kills a person, and there are witnesses that testified about it, so we have to put the axe to death. The axe has to be stoned. So the axe, and simply speaking, is even according to most opinions, even if the axe has not yet been stoned, the minute that the verdict is reached that this axe is going to have to be put to death, the axe becomes a serbahana'a. So if somebody would, right when the animal is about to be stoned, right after the verdict is reached, someone takes that axe, runs out of the room, shechts it, and gives you a piece of meat from that axe, that would be usher. Or if somebody would run out of the room, take the axe, and sell it on Amazon, that would be a problem. It's usher b'hanah. You're not allowed to get any hanah from that axe. That's the shor haniska, the shor that was stoned, or the shor that is to be stoned. So again, if that axe would get mixed in with a whole bunch of other axes, if it gets mixed together, now I'm all confused. There are 1,000 axes. There are 1,000 axes in this pen, and one of them is the shor haniska. And I don't know which one of them. Which one of them is the shor haniska? All of the axes in that pen are going to be usher. Next, the egla rufa. This is the calf that whose neck you break. This is what you know. The halacha for egla rufa, just very briefly, is that if there's rachman al son, a person who leaves a town, and there is, he was murdered on his way home, and nobody knows who the murderer is. So what we say is that the town that's closest to where that murderer, where the victim is, where his corpse is, that town needs some sort of a kapara. Part of the kapara involves taking a calf and going down to what's called Nachal Esan, a certain valley, and they have to break the neck. They have to chop off the head of that calf. That's the egla arufa. So that egla arufa, it becomes asur bahana. It itself is asur bahana, and so that item itself is of independent, of individual chashivas, of significance. And if, let's say, you have a chash of a piece of steak from that animal, or if you'd have the animal itself, once it's been taken down to the valley to have its head decapitated, so it becomes asur bahana, you're not going to get any benefit from it. And therefore, if that animal will get mixed into a whole bunch of other animals, we don't know, there's a whole pen filled with these animals now, we don't know which one of them is the egla arufa, or if it's meat and it's a big piece of steak from the animal, and again it gets from the egla arufa and it gets mixed in with a whole bunch of other pieces of meat, so it doesn't become batal. It never becomes a batal. All the pieces of meat are now problematic. It's oser bekolshu. Next, Misha says v'tzipare mitzora, the birds of the mitzora. So we know the mitzora is a person who had developed like a skin discoloration. And it's not just physical. It is physical, but it's not like a normal health condition. It is a spiritual illness that he develops a discoloration, and there are a number of reasons that are given in the Gemara for why it is, what causes this to happen, what he did wrong spiritually for him to be deserving of developing what's called tzaras, this discoloration. But when the Kohen takes a look at the tzaras, he says, "Oh, this guy is now he looked at the tzaras. It is genuine, authentic tzaras," and so the fellow who has the tzaras on him is called a mitzora. Well, the mitzora, there are certain rules. He has to be kicked out of the general community for some time until he becomes tahor again. Part of his purification process involves birds. That there are two birds that you have to take, and you shecht one of the birds. You take the other bird and you dip it. And you hold on to the bird that's currently alive still, and you dip it into that blood of the shechted bird, and you sprinkle the blood onto the mitzora. That's one of the things that you do in this process. So these birds that are used for the mitzora, they are asur bahana. Certainly, there's a little bit of a discussion about at one point they become asur bahana, but once the bird is shechted, they definitely become asur bahana. You're not allowed to have any benefit from those things. So if, let's say, the live bird, which by the way I should have mentioned, the live bird, after you dip it in the blood and you sprinkle it on the mitzvah, you send it away. Well, let's say that live bird gets mixed in with a whole bunch of other birds. before you send it away. Let's say it just gets mixed up with a whole bunch of other birds. Now what do you do? And you can't tell which of them is the bird that's meant for the Mitzvah. So all of those birds are not problematic. You're not going to get any enough from those birds that it's mixed in together with. Next, the Mishnah says, V'sa'ar Nazir, the hair of a Nazir. A Nazir, we know, is a person who takes a very special kind of neder. He makes a very special kind of a vow that he is accepting upon himself to be a Nazir. Part of being a Nazir means that he's not allowed to consume wine or various derivatives of grapes. And part of his process is that he's not allowed to cut his hair. At the end of his Nazirus, at the end of his period as a Nazir, he can accept to be a Nazir for certain amounts of time, but at the end of his period, there's a little bit of a ritual that we do. Part of the ritual is that the Nazir has to shave off all of the hair on his body. So when he shaves off all that hair, the hair becomes Asur Ba'na. He has to burn it, actually. So that hair is Asur Ba'na. It's prohibited to have any benefit from it. So if let's say you would have a lock of hair from that Nazir, and it gets mixed in with a whole bunch of other locks of hair, that and the other locks of hair are fine. So are not asur b'hana. So all those locks of hair, if you can't tell which one of is the nazir here, the all the locks of hair become asur b'hana. Next, the Mishnah says, "Who peter chamor?" Peter chamor, literally peter is when something is pater, right? It's exempted. Peter is when something is expelled of the chamor. So what does that mean? When the donkey expels something? What this is talking about is normally, we know that there's with the firstborn baby boy that a Jewish couple have is, unless they're a kohen, is a bechor, and that bechor has special kedusha. It belongs to the kohen, so that baby boy has to be redeemed from the kohen. That's what the pidyon haben is. So for kosher animals, there's a similar thing that for all kosher animals, the first baby boy that's born is also goes to the kohen. That's the bechor. So there's one not kosher animal that is subject to the rules of Bechor. In other words, normally the concept of Bechor, that the firstborn, first male baby is going to be belonging to the Kohen, that's only for kosher animals. But there's one non-kosher animal that this applies to, and that is the Chamor, the donkey. So when a donkey has its first baby boy, the first male baby donkey that comes out, that belongs to the Kohen. And if the Yisrael, if the owner wants to keep it, well, he can't really. So there's one of two things that he can do. Either he can redeem it, and the way that he redeems it is by giving a sheep to the Kohen, or if he doesn't want to redeem it, then he has to break the neck of the animal. But either way, until the donkey is redeemed, it's Asur Ba'na. He's not allowed to get any benefit from that bechor of the donkey. So the Mishnah is saying then, if that donkey would get mixed up with a whole bunch of other donkeys, and you know, and all the other ones are kosher, there's nothing wrong with them, they're not asur b'hana, but you can't tell which one of them is the peter chamor. So all of those donkeys are not problematic. Ubasr b'chalav. Now, basr b'chalav is literally, we translate that as meat with milk. But we know that that's talking about when you have meat that was cooked together with milk. We know that on a deraisa level, biblically speaking, when you cook meat together with milk, the meat. So let's say you have you fry a piece of steak in a bowl of in a pan filled with milk. So if you take, well, I shouldn't use that case. That'd be so. Let's say you boil a piece of meat in a pot filled with milk. So the piece of meat, if I take it out now, it becomes asur b'hana. Not only are you not allowed to eat the piece of meat, you're not allowed to even sell it on Amazon. Okay, so now let's say that piece of meat, if I had a steak that I boiled up in this milk, and this steak is significant, and it gets mixed together with 1,000 other pieces of steak, well, and I can't tell which one is the basr v'chalav piece of meat, all of those steaks become asur b'hana. Next, the Mishnah says, V'sar ha-mishtaleach. This is, literally, this would translate as the goat that is sent. We know that on Yom Kippur, part of the kapara that the Kohen Gadol does for us in the Beis HaMikdash involves that there are two goats that are taken into the Beis HaMikdash, and one, and there's a lot that's drawn. One of them is to be shechted, and one of them is going to be pushed off a cliff. The one that's going to be pushed off the cliff is called the Sar Mishtaleach, or the Sar La'azazel. So that goat that is to be pushed off the cliff, that is aser bahana. And so if that goat got mixed together with any other, with a thousand other goats, if you can't tell which one is the sar mishalech, they all become aser. Next, the chulin shenishchetu bazar, chulin that was shechted in the zar. So let's go through just very briefly. Chulin, as we've talked about in the past, is not non-sacred food. Now, what we've talked about in the past is, if for, let's say for grains, right? You're not allowed to eat. If you're a farmer and you harvest grain, and you harvest it, you thresh it, you winnow it, now you have a great big pile of grain, you make flour out of it, you're not allowed to eat that flour right away. So why not? Because there are certain things that you have to take off beforehand that go to the Kohen, that go to the Levi. So we talked about how, let's say, once you thresh the grain and you winnow it, and now you make a great big pile out of that grain, so now all those kernels are sitting in a great big pile, you have to take off a little portion to give to the Kohen. That's called Chuma. Then you have to take off a little portion and give it to the Levi. That's called Meiser. What's left after you're finished taking off all these special gifts to go to the Kohen, or to the Levi, or whoever else, what's left is now kosher food. That kosher food is, well, it doesn't belong to the Kohen, it doesn't belong to the Levi. This pile that you're left with belongs to you, and you're allowed to eat it. Do you have to be tar when you eat it? No, it's just regular run-of-the-mill food that's now kosher, that you took care of your responsibilities, you gave what you were supposed to. That's called chulin. So, but chulin, regular non-sacred food, is not just grains, it can also be meat. So, for example, when if you bring a carbon, if you designate an animal to bring as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, let's say you did something wrong. Let's say you violated Shabbos, and you didn't violate Shabbos on purpose. You accidentally did a peshogig. You didn't know a certain halacha, and then someone tells you, you know, that that's a problem. You have to bring a carbon chatas. You have to bring a special carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to bring a sacrifice, an animal as a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. That animal is kadosh. It's sacred. And you're now, right, it's not for you to use. It's certainly not until shechted. So then you get a little bit of the meat to eat, or at least for the Kohen. But over here though, chulin though is what that we're talking about is if you would shecht an animal, not as a carbon, you shecht an animal, a regular ox that you shecht and you want to have steak for dinner tonight. That's chulin. Right, you take off some things to give to the Kohen also from the animal, but what's left, when you're done taking off whatever you have to take off, just like with grains, you have to take off something from the animal to give to the Kohen, what's left is chulin, is regular, non-sacred, kosher meat. So the issue is, though, if the Beis HaMikdash is designated specifically for bringing Karbanos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what that means is that you are not allowed to just shecht regular run-of-the-mill non-sacred meat in the Beis HaMikdash and just have a barbecue. You're not allowed to do that. The Beis HaMikdash is designated specifically for kachim, for sacred meat, for sacred animals, for sacrifice. So let's say a person, though, did take an animal and shecht it in the Beis HaMikdash, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and he shechts it there, but not to be a sacrifice. He shechts it there so that he can have a barbecue, a regular barbecue in his backyard. So that's called chulin shenishchedu bazara. That's called chulin, regular non-sacred meat that had been shechted in the azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, what's the problem with that meat? That meat becomes aser bahana. So let's say that animal, or the meat from that animal, you have a significant piece of steak that you would serve to an important guest that gets mixed together with 100 other pieces of steak, but you don't know which one of them is the chulin shenishchedu bazara piece. Now all those pieces are problematic. So this is the Mishnah's list. The Mishnah says, Harei Elu Asurin, all these things are prohibited. Any one of these things individually are prohibited. Now I get benefit from them. The Osrin Bekol Shehein, and they prohibit their mixture with any amount. That if they get mixed into, even a thousand other things that were kosher, if you can't tell which one of them is this particular item, they all become Asur Bahana. Okay, so just to summarize very briefly, when the Mishnah is giving you a list of things that are inherently aser bahana, and they prohibit other things with any amount. Now, what that means over here, though, is that we're talking about things that are of significance, that they are of independent, inherent significance. They are davar shebeminyans. They are maybe sold individually in the market. Amongst them would be a bottle of wine or a barrel of wine of Yain Nesach, or Avodah Zarah, a figurine that gets mixed with other things, or the skins that are that have been hearted, that have been part of the sacrificial sacrifice to Avodah Zarah, or a shore that was meant to be stoned. because it had killed somebody, and we had witnesses that it had killed somebody. So it becomes Asrbana. Or the Egla Arufa, or we said the birds that you used for the purification process of the Mitzorah, or the hair of the Nazir, or the firstborn baby of the Chamor before it had been redeemed, or Basra Chalav, if you have meat that was cooked with milk, or if you have the goat that's supposed to be sent off the cliff on Yom Kippur, or if you have Chulin Shenishchadu Bazara, all those things, they are individually aser b'hanayin, I'll get hanah from those things. And if they would make their way into, get mixed together, get confused with 1,000 other things, all those things are prohibited, for you can't tell which of them is this aser item. Okay.